This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Forum. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from top CEOs. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. And if you miss a CEO interview, you can hear any on our website, www.ceoforum.ceo.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Steve Odwin. How are you, Steve?
Great to be here, Robert.
And Steve has been CEO and chairman of the Office Depot, but also he's been CEO and chairman of AutoZone, so we're going to talk about both. And then he is the co-author of a book that I just read, and I thought it was really significant, called Sustaining Capitalism, which shows, in a sense, a bipartisan approach of how we could work and build a future of capitalism. Let's start off, when you were CEO of Office Depot, tell me what the experience was like. You were there for about 5 years, you were CEO and chairman.
Yeah, well, that followed a previous experience at AutoZone, so it wasn't my first CEO position, but it clearly was a huge $15 billion global company. We were doing business in 65 countries around the world, and one of the things that they teach in business school, Robert, is that your total focus as a CEO should be on producing shareholder value. But in fact, you simply cannot do that without taking all your constituencies into account. And I used to say that I would remember my constituencies by my title, CEO, customers, employees, and owners.
That is good.
Yeah, and then I would append the environment and community, but customers, employees, and owners. And if you optimized and you just focused on maximizing any one of them, well, you would give the others short shrift. So take shareholder value. If you only produce shareholder value, then you wouldn't take care of your customers. If you only paid your employees and you said you were going to be the greatest place in the world to work, well, you give others short shrift. So you have to balance all of it as a corporate leader, and I think that was my biggest learning in all of my CEO positions.
At Office Depot, you were there during the Great Recession, you were from 2005 to 2010. What was that like, being CEO during such a tumultuous time?
Well, there was nothing great about it. It was a very difficult time. We sold office products, and so for every other corporation, our sales were their general and administrative expense. And so when the crisis hit, everybody battened down the hatches, and they said, stop all your G&A spending. And, of course, our sales took a tremendous hit during that period of time. So we had to scramble. Our long-term strategic plan was, we thought, brilliant, but here we are in a crisis, not of our own making, but we had to manage through it. And so it required that we get all of our constituents, to build on my prior theme, really aligned to a different plan. And we had to take a lot of cost out. We had to rally with our customers on a lower sales base. Here we were the largest office furniture supplier in the country. I don't know if people knew that about Office Depot, and yet when the financial crisis hits, people don't need office furniture; they need duct tape to tape the chairs. And so that went down. Computers, we were the largest PC, second largest PC seller. That went down. So we had to adjust, and that's what I think most companies did. And we did as well. We ultimately got through it and lived to fight another day.
How many employees did you have when you were there, total associates?
Yeah, we had about 50,000 people around the world.
So what advice do you have to a CEO of how to manage 50,000 people when you're going through challenging, volatile times?
Well, clearly people want to know what's happening to them. They want to know what's happening to their company. But there was also this great fear, you know, were the banks going to be there? This was an unusual crisis, I think we all know. Were the banks going to be there? What was going to happen to the U.S. government? Was the economy going to collapse? I mean, these were big questions. And so we began to meet with the broader group, you know, once a week. And we'd have all employee meetings. And we'd get a couple thousand people together at our corporate headquarters. We'd broadcast it. And, you know, we'd give an update. You know, if I'd been in Washington, I would talk to them about what I heard and what I saw. We would talk about what we were doing as a company, and we didn't hold anything back because people just needed to hear, you know, what steps we were taking to restructure and take costs out so that we would survive, and then we asked for their point of view as well. But anyway, the conversation ranged beyond the company and, you know, the results at that period of time, and really became a much broader conversation which they needed to hear.
This is Robert Greese on the CEO Forum, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Steve Eidland, who was the former CEO of AutoZone and then the CEO of Office Depot. And now I want to shift gears and talk about capitalism. What inspired you to write a book about capitalism, or to co-author?
Yeah, it was co-authored with my colleague here at the Committee for Economic Development, Joe Minerick. And Joe is a great economist who was the chief economist at OMB for all 8 years of the Clinton administration, and gets at least a modicum of credit for the last time we had a balanced budget in this country.
I want to interrupt you first. Just CED was founded in 1942, affiliated with the Conference Board. Can you just give everyone a definition of what it is?
We came together in 1942, convened by President Roosevelt in a time of great world tumult, and he asked these CEOs for policy advice. They formed the committee, and they in turn wrote the Marshall Plan for Europe as their first big policy piece. They followed on with the Bretton Woods Agreement, which created the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, so really important stuff in the 40s and 50s. So we're an old line think tank. We're one of the oldest organizations, believe it or not, in Washington, D.C. Today, we are totally nonpartisan. We don't get into politics. We still write policy in the nation's interest, and we have about 160 CEO members.
Capitalism. When I read this book, and I have to tell everyone, you said to me, Robert, it's not going to be a bestseller, but I will say it is really important. I'm reading this quote by Ron Williams, who I know, the CEO, former CEO of Aetna. He says in here, "No method of organizing economic activity has done more for the prosperity of the ordinary person than capitalism." That's right at the front of your book. What's your take on that quote?
Well, he hits it, of course, as he always does. You know, Ron's a terrific member of CED and a great business leader. But, you know, if you look at our form of democracy in the United States, it is intertwined inextricably, like a woven fabric, with capitalism. And our brand of capitalism is unique in this world. But the two together have allowed us to develop a country that has created the greatest society known to mankind. The Greeks and Romans aren't here, so I can say that. And here we are, and it's created great wealth and prosperity. It's allowed us to project peace around the world. It's allowed us, through trade, to raise billions of people out of poverty. It's just the greatest system. But it is not something that came down to us on stone tablets. It is an organic system. It's a system that has evolved over time. It's a system that has changed to meet the needs and the demands of society. And, you know, an example is when capitalism was first evolving, as our country was forming, it was a wild and woolly form of market capitalism with no government regulation. We didn't have a government. And we have learned that the whole idea of buyer beware and, you know, all of that has sort of evolved. And so we've embraced regulation as a means to evolving capitalism. But the point here that really galvanized us was when we started seeing studies of millennials, the majority of whom were saying we would rather live in a socialist economy than a capitalist economy. Now, when you dig underneath that, we didn't think they really meant it because there's a great distrust of inequality. There's a great distrust of crony capitalism, of the donations
chapter
in Washington,
two, right?
Chapter two, of our health care system, of you know, everything that's breaking down. And if, look, we've had some corporate scandals, we've had government scandals. So it's up to us as business leaders to engage and to evolve capitalism and make it sustainable.
Is there anything else? We have 1 minute more before we go to break, do you want to give a quick snapshot of what some of the potential solutions are, and then we'll go in more depth at after the break?
Yeah, I think that the important thing is over the past decade, business leaders have had their heads down. We've gone through the financial crisis, as we've discussed. We have been under regulatory assault. I mean, you talk to business leaders, they will say, look, I'm just trying to stay out of the firing line. We get all that, and that's not inconsequential. But at the same time, that it is business leaders engaged with public officials in the public square that has helped to guide everything that has come out in this country, and they need to reengage.
So what should CEOs do?
Well,
you could use Gordon Gekko's line, buy my book, three words, right?
Yeah. It is about engaging in a positive way, not in a crony capitalist way for the good of their company, not to do something that skews the markets against their competitors, but to engage in developing solutions from business in the nation's interest. And that's what CED is about.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum. We're speaking with Steve Odland. We're going to come back and we're going to hear.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, There's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Steve Odland, who was the CEO of AutoZone, then the CEO of Office Depot, and now the co-author of Sustaining Capitalism. So we spoke before, Steve, about some of the challenges of capitalism. What are some of the real solutions? After reading this book, what should someone do?
Well, first of all, it doesn't just take CEOs. It takes all business leaders to engage, whether it's at the federal level, the state level, the local level, in their communities. Business leaders need, of course, to develop great growth in their own businesses, to employ people, to do the right thing. But they also need to engage with their community, engage with their elected officials in order to make policy that helps to sustain capitalism. Because it is not a system that is just going to sustain itself. It is not a system that can be sustained by elected officials only. I mean, if you just look in the past decade or so, the number of business people or anyone or any people having any business experience in government is very, very small. And yet they're making the rules, the regulations, the laws that govern everything around us. So business leaders need to engage. And they need to do so in a way that is positive, that gets at issues like education, which is the great enabler for equality in this world. Education also is the great enabler of all of our workforce, something that CED has been involved with since the 1950s. Crony capitalism, it's a terrible word. Everybody would say that they're not involved, but every time that you try to do a deal or a company tries to do a deal with the government for their own benefit, that's crony capitalism, and that skews the markets. Look, it's all about advocating for a level playing field, for safety barriers for all the players, but then getting out of the way and then making the markets drive competition.
And in the book, you talked about something which really resonated with me, which was that the GDP to debt ratio, which was something like 106 right after World War II, it went down to like 35 or so in the early 2000s. Now it's up to 73.
Yeah. It's the great freight train that's coming at us. That light at the end of the tunnel is the freight train. We know it's coming. It's going to be a financial crisis, again, of proportions we haven't seen, unless we take action. And this is what we call on in the book. Business leaders need to stand up, and we need to take care of the policy that has put us on this track. So we came out of World War II with a little over 100% debt to GDP, but we had the great peace dividend, where we were spending in excess of 30 to 50% on defense. Now there is no peace dividend. We are spending only 3% on defense. So there's no more money to get from spending there. All of the money is being spent on, or projected to be spent on, entitlement spending. So if you leave everything in place, within 15 years, we're going to be over 100% again. Within 20 years, we'll be over 100. All discretionary spending in this government will go towards debt payment, now, interest on the debt. We've got to change.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is we need to think more long-term. Just like CEOs of a public company have to focus on more than quarterly earnings, you said here also people in Washington, there should be something where they shouldn't spend all their time raising money, but there should be like a 4-to-1 ratio.
Yeah. Well, clearly, that's one of them, but we've got to get to, this is why we say you've got to engage in the public square as a business leader. You've got to take on entitlement reform. Nobody wants to touch it until the crisis is upon us, but when that crisis hits, it's too late, because you will then have put, look, we're about 3 years away from every baby boomer being over 55 years of age. We have never cut a social program for our elderly or retired population after they've hit 55. We will have just put an entire generation's cost on the generations following it. It is unheard of before, and we've got to change it.
We have over 600,000 listeners listening in. What should a CEO do? What is an action, a tactical action, that they should do tomorrow?
Well, you can govern what you do every single day, which is to get up, communicate, do the right thing. You know, our whole system is founded on trust. And these few scandals that we've had, you go back to WorldCom, Enron, accounting scandals, they did the wrong thing. They knew they were doing the wrong thing. But they did it for their own benefit, and it eroded trust in our entire capitalist system. It could have destroyed our entire system of our economic system, our government. You know, thankfully, a lot of business leaders stood up and stopped that. But here we are again. And so you every single day as a business leader, we've got to get up and do the right thing. Secondly, we've got to act not just in the interest of our own company, but in the interest of our country, in all people, which means sometimes in order to get to tax simplification, there are going to be winners and losers. And we've got to advocate for tax simplification to get our structure in place as an example, even if in some cases it means we give up some of the breaks that we had advocated for, through our lobbyists. Those are a couple of examples. Engage in education. You know, education is the great enabler. We in this society are all about equality of opportunity. Social democracies in Europe focus on equality of outcome, which leads you to redistribution. That's not what America's about. The great American dream is about equality of opportunity, and it requires that we have a level playing field in education, that we have early childhood access. It requires that to be done at the local level, and that's where every business leader needs to get involved. Same thing through K-12, same thing through post-secondary.
Okay, so you're talking about a new mindset for CEOs. You've been in a rare situation where you've run two major publicly traded companies. What is the secret sauce you have in Steve Odlin that helped him succeed at that level? What is the something you've done that has always worked for you, that has helped you succeed, that maybe other CEOs could learn from?
I don't know. You know, I know a lot of CEOs, a lot of my friends, hopefully some of them are listening, and I will tell you that I am just awed by the great leadership that we have in this country, and I'm more awed by them than I am by anything that I've ever done. I just approached it as I'm going to work hard, I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm not going to leave anything on the field. I'm going to try to balance family, business, and community as the areas where I focus. I'm going to focus on customers, employees, and owners as my constituents, and I'm just going to do my best. And look, I've made mistakes. Not everything's always gone swimmingly well, but, I can sleep at night because I just work hard at doing my best.
1 minute left. Give me one of those mistakes, what one mistake was, and how you overcame it or what you learned.
You know, I make more mistakes than any human being every single day. But I think, part of the thing about being a CEO is you can't be afraid to make mistakes. But you got to clean it up. You know, if you make a mistake, people will always forgive you, but you have to go and you have to say, oops, that was on me, and, I'm sorry, and let's move on. And I think modeling that kind of behavior in a company with an executive team and with all of your associates and so forth, I think is the way to do it. There is no secret sauce. It's all about just being a great human being.
And there you have it, and listen to everyone. Don't leave anything on the field. You give it your all. We've been speaking with Steve Odlin, and recent author of Sustaining Capitalism, Bipartisan Solutions to Restore the Trust and Prosperity. I need to get that word right. And just remember this. CEO stands for Customers, Employees, and Owners. Back with you next week.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
listen to what Dave Ryan says about Andro 400.
Andro 400, I really love it. It's amazing to me that I feel so good. I've lost 50 pounds. I was a size 38 waist. I've gone down to a 32 waist. My mood has changed. I don't get stressed out. It gave me so much more energy. Energy to walk. Energy to play sports. Everything is starting to work again. It feels like I'm 25. My wife is happy. I'm so happy. I'm just a completely different man. I'm taking this stuff to the grave with me.
Men, have you lost energy and gained belly fat? Are you feeling stressed out? Fight back with Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to increase your testosterone. For over a decade, Andro 400 has helped men lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel 20 years younger. Go to andro400.com. Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at ShelterPod.com. The Shelter Pod at ShelterPod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105. For a recorded message.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, this is Robert Greese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Peter Gleason. How are you, Peter?
I'm great, Robert. How are you?
Good. And Peter is the CEO of National Association of Corporate Directors. So all of you CEOs listening in, you are going to learn everything you want to know about governance coming up. So just talk about what the association is.
Well, we're an association for board members. That's our sole focus. Everything we do is geared towards helping boards be better boards when it really comes down to it. We provide research, we provide training, we provide education programs. We can even help you find directors if that's what you're looking for. So it's everything around the boardroom and how we help boards become better boards.
So let's talk about that now. What are some of the fundamental things that are mistakes that CEOs could make in selecting their board members?
That's kind of a loaded question, Robert, but if I can answer it, I think if you look at how boards are put together, you really want to find the best skill you can possibly find and the most diverse skills you can possibly find to sit around that table. I always look at the boardroom table as the most expensive real estate you have in your organization.
Good point.
You staff it with the top people you can possibly find to help the management team execute on the strategy for the company. So you're looking at, you know, you have your basics in terms of finance, but you really have to look at the strategic vision of the company. What is it 3-5 years out, and do we have the skills on the boardroom, around that boardroom table, to align with the strategy of the company to help move the company forward?
So how do you view what types of backgrounds are going to comprise the best board?
Well, that depends on the company, depends on the industry that they're in, depends on the situation, the growth cycle that they're in. You may need more hands-on directors if you're a smaller startup type company with broader company type experience, a specific industry experience. When you get into the larger companies, you're really looking at, again, that strategic plan and how you execute on the strategic plan, what skills are going to be beneficial to the management team. And you could have everything from marketing expertise to finance expertise to cyber expertise. And again, it really just depends on the needs of the company at the time that you're really looking at the director makeup.
How about the number? Are there any magic numbers of how many people should be on a board?
Well, the average is 9.6. You have
9.6.
You have one really short director. but it really varies on the size of the company, and they correlate. So the larger the company, usually the larger the board. If you look at the Fortune 500, I believe it's 11 plus, maybe 11 or 12 is the average size of a board. And as you get into mid-caps, it goes down a little bit. As you get into smaller small cap companies, you get into the 6-7 person boards. Usually the technology companies tend to have smaller company boards. The utilities and regulated companies tend to have larger boards. So it varies across the board.
There you go.
It wasn't supposed to be there.
So, and I'm on two hospital boards, and we have like over 20 people.
Yeah.
Is that too much?
Well, it depends on, a lot of nonprofits tend to have bigger boards. So it depends on the function of the hospital and where they are. You tend to see larger, especially community hospitals, mm-hmm. you tend to see larger boards because you're not necessarily getting people from, you're staying within the community, you're getting community representatives, different factions of the community. There is no magic number, but the larger the board, the harder it is, I think, on the management team, because you've got mm-hmm. 20 people instead of 9-10 people that the management team is now reporting to.
And what's your take on consent agendas?
They can work, but I think you have to be careful with them. You know, I think they work for smaller items when you've got to move quickly and be somewhat nimble. But I think the richness of the discussion goes back to the makeup of the board. And if you've got a consent agenda, you're not necessarily going to get that fulsome dialogue that you would get sitting around the table, having a big dialogue around the issue at hand and getting that experiential input that you carefully constructed when you put that board together.
And how about the board books? You know, I always find some of them are massive amounts of reading. What's your take on the size and the content of a board book?
That too has evolved. back before the electronic portals that are now available and most boards use, we used to have a one-inch rule. You didn't want your board book bigger than an inch, and it needed to be there a week in advance so that the directors would have time to read it, come prepared to ask questions, and not get a dog and pony show when they showed up in the boardroom of having the management team recite everything that's in that board book. What's happened now is we have electronic board books, and the difficult part, why you have much more timely information, because they can add to it on a regular basis, and it's all electronic. What's happened is a lot of companies have used that as a vehicle to put a lot of information, and so all of a sudden the size of those board books started growing again, because rather than analyzing and digging into the document, they send you the whole document, and the board directors are then charged with deciphering what's critical. The better boards, the more experienced, usually it's the corporate secretary or the general counsel that's putting the board books together, they're really going to focus in on what the board needs to hear. The problem is when you've got a big company, multiple divisions, they start pumping in information and you get that big board book. It's too hard to prepare. And hopefully you're not getting into a situation where the board is bombarded with information and they can't find the key issues that they have to focus in on.
What is the, if there's number one, two, and three, what are the role of the boards in terms of what's most important, second most, third most?
Great question. And most people would say that the hiring, motivating, and firing, if necessary, the CEO is the key element of what a board does. Not that that's not important, because the right leader can do everything for the organization in terms of setting it in the right direction. But related to that is strategy and risk, which I would put as number two and three if you had to put them in a line. Establishing the right strategy and executing against that strategy with board input, I think, is critical to the success, the long-term success of the company. From a risk standpoint, and risks usually fall out of the strategy, so you don't want a risk-averse board. You want a board that's willing to look at the risks, figure out how are we going to address the risks, how are we going to capitalize on the risks, but not be taking too many risks. So, but the risks fall out of the strategy when you start looking at the environment that we're operating in, how are we going to move forward, the risks will start coming out. And you've got to address those risks and figure out how the strategy not just avoids those risks, but takes advantage of those risks to build long-term value in the organization.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Peter Gleason, who is the CEO of National Association of Corporate Directors. So that's of importance to all of you. So let's talk about the concept of diversity.
Sure.
You mentioned it earlier that diversity is important on a board. What's your take on where we're at and where we should be?
Well, we look at diversity as the business imperative. That's how we're going to compete globally as we move forward. In terms of where we are, it's not where we need to be. This has been a slow-moving ship in terms of increasing diversity on boards. In terms of women, I think we're at 19%, and these are Fortune 500 statistics, so 19% of Fortune 500 boards are made up of women. And it goes way down from there. When you get into minorities, African Americans, Hispanics, Asian Americans, the numbers really tail off. So women obviously are the largest group out there, but again, not where we need to be in terms of the representation. But we look at diversity through a very broad lens, and we're looking at it specifically towards, it can be race, it can be gender, it can be age, it can be experience. Really, we're looking at what makes the board fit for purpose. And again, going back to that strategy discussion, how are we overseeing the management team and helping guide the management team as they execute on that strategy with that diverse perspective that helps us look out over the horizon? And what are the issues we should be paying attention to from our experience in the different organizations that we've been part of? So I'm speaking as a director, you know, if you've been on 3-4 boards, you're on 2 hospital boards, you said, Robert, you've seen things at those hospital boards that you may bring to bear at another company. You know, we witnessed this. As you're looking at your strategy, Ms. CEO, you know, maybe you ought to consider these issues that we dealt with at another company that might be a stumbling block, or it might be an enabler that pushes you into another direction. So,
this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum. We're with Peter Gleason. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about cyber, the threats, and the role of the board.
Sure.
Back in a few.
Homeowners have much more to worry about than just making their mortgage payment. Can you afford to repair or replace your air conditioning when it stops working this summer? Or worse, a major plumbing problem? With National Home, you can say goodbye to repair bills. If you own a home, you can stop paying for these costly repairs. Best of all, call now to get 1 month of repair coverage for free. Get total protection for your home's major appliances and systems, so you have no more costly repair bills. Call 800-887-3022. That's 800-887-3022. 800-887-3022.
Hi, my name's Tim Forehand. I'm a deputy sheriff, and my job keeping in shape is important. I've tried other products to get my weight down, but nothing has worked like Andro 400. In just 3 months, I've dropped 51 pounds, down from 230 to 179. Plus, the weight's come off in the stomach area. I've gone from a snug 36-inch waist to a 32-inch waist, which I was in high school. I highly recommend the Andro 400 to all my friends.
Guys, are you frustrated because no matter how hard you try, it seems impossible to lose stubborn belly fat? Then discover why thousands of men each month rely on Andro 400. Lose belly fat, gain energy and confidence, and feel great about yourself. Andro 400, the safe, effective, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With a ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Peter Gleason, who is the CEO of National Association of Corporate Directors. Now, I know that you've said before that cyber is really important for boards to focus on. Talk about why, what's happening, and any advice you have to CEOs on this.
Sure. The issue of cybersecurity is really kind of... Well, it's relatively new in the big picture of business. If you think about, we've been connected to the internet for 20 years, and the cyber threats really started, 10, 12 years ago in terms of looking at companies that are connected and what are the potential bad guys doing to our companies. It's evolving incredibly rapidly. So that we had technology evolve incredibly rapidly to get us to this stage, and now the threats themselves are evolving rapidly. So if we go back and we look at, you know, Home Depot and Target a few years back, it was credit card information that they were after. They hacked the credit card systems. They got access to people's credit card information, and we saw, you know, free sign-ups for credit agencies to protect the customers of the various entities. You go to Sony, and you had work stoppages. You had ransomware. You had the exposition of emails and things like that that got deeper into the companies. We've had the government hacked, and you got Social Security numbers from people who were applying for government jobs and data that was stolen. So we don't know what people are after. So we've got an invisible threat without an identifiable outcome from that threat, which makes it incredibly hard to defend against. A few years back when we started talking about cybersecurity was, how do we lock down the enterprise to make sure there's an unbreakable barrier? Well, what we've learned is nobody's created the unbreakable barrier. And when you talk to the cybersecurity experts,
I've spoken with a lot of people.
Right. The question now, they would say there are two types of companies, those that have been hacked and know it, and those that have been hacked and don't know it. And, you know, so now we get to, well, what's the board's responsibility in this? Well, you have to identify the assets you have to protect and understand what's being done to protect those assets. Then you have to look at what assets and losses can we mitigate against should something happen to them, and what's our plan to deal with it in terms of the media, the shareholders, the customers, the law enforcement agencies. A few years ago, it was fairly common that when you got hacked and you went to whatever law enforcement agency you needed, you know, their goal is to catch the bad guy, not to solve your problem. You didn't go to them with a solution in mind other than catch the perpetrator who hacked into your system. Well, now, you know, how do you deal with that from a shareholder perspective? Because sometimes the law enforcement would say, don't talk about it because we have a chance to find out who perpetrated this, versus we got to inform our shareholders. We have an obligation to our shareholders to let them know what's going on in our organization. You have to have that board talk about what's the situation that we have to deal with. You know,
so what a board really needs more than anything is wisdom.
Well, that's the experience. That's the background. That is the skill sets that we were talking about earlier, of having that experience. And now it's actually fairly common to find board members who have gone through a hack situation where their companies have been hacked. They had to deal with the press. They had to deal with the shareholders. They had to deal with the customers. So they've had that experience now, and they can lend that experience to the next company that they sit on.
Let's talk about your organization. So you've about 18,000 members.
Correct.
And you do a lot of work on special blue ribbon commissions.
Right.
Talk about the whole model and what it is to a CEO that you're actually offering.
Well, again, our business model is geared towards the board of directors to help the CEO and the management team. The better your board, the more successful we think you're going to be. We provide education, research, and training, as I said. The way we look at it is we want to help your board learn the way they want to.
So I like that. You want to help the board learn the way they want to, because every board is different.
Right. So they're all going to have different needs. They're going to have different experience levels. With us, you know, we have, as you said, Blue Ribbon Commission reports. We do a different Blue Ribbon Commission report every year on a different topic. So everything from diversity, long-term value creation, the strategic asset board, strategy development, it's all geared around tools and information that can help the board address a certain topic. We've got publications on cyber that have been picked up by the Department of Homeland Security and put on their website. So we're trying to be out ahead of issues that we think boards are going to have to deal with and CEOs are going to have to deal with as they run the company. We have education programs that are built off of the research that we've done. Last year's report was on the strategic asset board and finding that board that's fit for purpose. Well, then we create training programs to help boards think about how you do this in your situation. We have brick and mortar programs. We have a fellowship program that if you do so many courses, you get a fellowship that demonstrates your commitment to continuing education in the boardroom, which we think is essential because of the environment that we're operating in. It's moving so fast that you've got to continually update your knowledge base through education. So we have foundation courses that leads to a fellowship. We've got different levels of fellowship. We're creating our NACDU is our internal name for it. It's a full broad-based curriculum to help directors at any point in their career come in, understand where they are. We can custom create a track for them to get to an end game of being up to speed and adding value. And then we have custom programs that we can take our education and bring it to a board, walk in, customize it to their situation. The faculty goes to them. We close the door. It's behind their doors. It's all confidential. We can deal with an issue straight at the board's needs. So we have the research side where you can pick up a book and you can figure it out yourself, and we provide tools in those books. We've got the brick and mortar full-based education where you go to a hotel and you're among 70, 80 of your peers and you can network and share experiences, or we can customize it and bring it right to you and have you do it inside. The last element of that is our virtual programming, and we've just introduced two virtual programs. One is our virtual director professionalism, which is one of those foundation courses that we do brick and mortar. We just put it online so that directors can do it at their convenience. It's broken into modules. There's testing after every module, and at the end you've completed the course. And then we just released last month, in February, we released our virtual cyber program. And we did that in conjunction with Ridge Global, Governor Tom Ridge, and Carnegie Mellon's CERT. We looked at who is the best at providing cyber education in terms of the broad market, and that's Carnegie Mellon. We've got Governor Ridge, whose focus is Department of Homeland Security. We took all that information and focused it in around a board lens. While there's probably more than a handful of cyber education programs out there, we believe we've got the only one that has a board lens to it that is focused on what does the board have to do around cyber, what are their key responsibilities, and bringing the board members up to speed in terms of the lexicon, the knowledge that they have to have in terms of a baseline of what are the issues around cyber, but then what does the board have to do about it.
And what is your website?
Website is www.nacdonline.org.
And there you have it. We've been speaking with Peter Gleason, the CEO of National Association of Corporate Directors. Great having you on the CEO Forum.
Thanks for being with you, Rob.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.